It's good to be back in Hamilton. And I'd like to just read, to start with, a passage out of Philippians chapter 2. It begins in verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Jesus Christ, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not grasp equality with God, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance of a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore God the Father highly exalted Jesus and bestowed upon him a name which is above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's an awesome passage, isn't it? That Jesus existed in the form of God. He was God. And yet in great humility and great love for mankind, he came from heaven to earth. And that's an astounding act of love. God, the creator of heaven and earth, the God of the universe, stepped out of glory. The radiant Son of God, the light of the world, stepped down to the darkness of this earth to transform, to set free, heal, and to save mankind. And in great love, he laid his life down, an act of love which is beyond comprehension, that he would die for such a one as me. Let's just pray. And Father, we thank you for sending your Son. Incredible act of love. The light of heaven, the radiant King of glory, would take on the form of man. And Lord, come and lead a life of selfless humility, touching and healing every person he came in contact with, and shedding amazing hope, taking the burdens and weight off people's shoulders, and giving them hope for now and for the future, and forgiving and cleansing, healing broken hearts, and Lord, giving eternal life to those who call upon his name. And I thank you that in the name of Jesus, every angel, every human being, in fact, every demon, including Lucifer himself, must bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Father, we worship you. Thank you for the incredible opportunity to share the testimony of eternal life. I pray this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. As Nick was sharing, I've been a Christian for 24 years. I've got a short time to share my testimony. It does tend to take quite a long time. And so my heart has always been, and I know it's the heart of God, that eternal life and salvation is a free gift. God freely gave. And what else could we give? Life on this earth is very short. And when you've stepped into eternity, you realize how short and fragile life is. We live for maybe 60, 70, 80 years. But can you imagine what eternity, eternal life is like? And when you've stepped into that realm, no one wants to come back. Not one person of the thousands of people that I've met that have died and come back to life want to return. They want to remain in the radiant presence of God's love. They want to just stay in the arms of his presence. And you know in your heart you've come home. You know that every dream, every desire that's been in your heart, which has not been fulfilled on this earth, is fulfilled the moment you see him. Eternal life is in his presence. And it'll bring the hardest man to tears. It would melt and transform the most heart of hearts, the love of God. Scriptures say that God is love. And Jesus himself so loved that he gave. The core to everything that God moves in is an act of love. My wife became a Christian when she was 6 years of age. Her testimony is more powerful than mine. It's the keeping power of a holy God. From this young age, she just continued to walk with him. We have, I don't know if we're going to see them tonight, so we'll just flag it. We have three children, Lisa, who is 8, Michael, who is just about 6, and Sarah, who's 4. So I was hoping to show some of you Hamiltonians that do know me, my family, but we'll get there. I was a very, very keen and surfer. Used to surf Raglan a lot at Indicators. We got any photos? No, we haven't. And in 1980, I decided to do a surfing safari around the world. And so I took off with my surfboards. Any surfers here? We got any? Only one, two, a couple of seaweeds. The rest of you just surfed the net. And so we were surfing the real waves. Forget the net, mate. And so we were surfing, and I spent 2 years traveling through Southeast Asia and through Africa. And in 1982, I ended up on a beautiful island called Mauritius, a very, very beautiful tropical paradise. I lived with a local Creole fisherman, and I was stung while I was night diving in 1982 by 5 box jellyfish. How many know what a box jellyfish is? Anyone? A couple of you. In Australia, they have them up on the northern coast of Queensland. One sting from a box jellyfish is basically fatal. I said 5 times. The fishermen saw my arm as it swelled up like a balloon. They told me that one of these would kill me. They told me that I should urinate on my arm. It would help nullify the poison. As I urinated on my arm, they told me I must get quickly to a hospital. I was a lifeguard from Waihee Beach. I was a diver, a surfer. I knew enough to know that I must be very, very careful that this toxin, you know what I mean, didn't get into my vital organs. By the time I hit the beach, I was already paralyzed down the right-hand side of my body. This poison then very quickly began to draw me into what would be called a coma. I began to shut my eyes, thinking that I was just going to sleep, not realizing that as I shut my eyes, this would have been certain death. As my eyes began to close, I heard this clear, audible voice of a man next to me. The voice said, "Son, if you close your eyes, you will never awake again." As I turned in the direction of the voice, I was shocked to see that there was no one there. Now, I'd never heard audible voices talking to me. How many know there are places that people tend to go to that have talking voices? They have jackets that are fairly difficult to move, and their hands are reasonably restricted. But they have nice padded cells they can bounce around in. But I didn't realize that this was the voice of God. I didn't believe in God. I was an evolutionist, a free-thinking atheist, in other words, a heathen. I had plenty of time to practice being one. I had a very good reputation, actually. And so here I am dying, and I had no idea that God speaks to non-believers. The Bible says that God loves the lost, and he goes looking for the lost sheep. So the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice. How many Christians who are the sheep of God actually have heard the voice of God? My sheep hear my voice. How many know sheep aren't very good readers? If you've ever been on a farm. So my sheep hear my voice. But the Bible also says that God loves black sheep. Any black sheep amongst us tonight? We've got a couple of black sheep. What's amazing is God loves black sheep. He goes looking for the lost one. So here I am dying on a beach, and I hear the audible voice of God telling me that if I shut my eyes, I will die. Isn't that an amazing act of love? To a person who didn't, a person who had used the name of Jesus as a swear word on a daily basis. A person who was pulling bongs and chillums most days and who has had enough THC in his body to take a cigarette and be completely out of it for the rest of the day. Does that make any sense to any of you? Now it's P now, isn't it? Some old. So here I am, I'm dying. I hear this clear voice say, "If you close your eyes, you'll never wake again." So I hobble down the road looking for help. I found 3 Indian taxi drivers. I asked them if they'd take me to the hospital. They said, "Well, how much money do you have?" You can see the dollar signs going through their cash register over there. I said, "Well, $50, $100 US. I'm dying. I don't need the money." They said, "Well, let me see your money, you white man. I'll take you to hospital. Let me see your money." Well, how many know you don't carry $100 in your back pocket? I said, "Well, I don't have the money with me." As I said that, all 3 of them walked away laughing their heads off. In this part of the world, without money, you will die. As these men walked away, not knowing what to do next, I heard this clear voice speak to me a second time. It said, "Son, are you willing to beg for your life?" I thought, "Beg for your life? That's a brilliant idea. I hadn't thought of that. I'm sure these Indians haven't seen a white man beg in this part of the world. I've got nothing to lose. My left leg's nearly stuffed anyhow. So I fell to the ground in front of them. As I dropped in front of them, I lifted my right hand, which was paralyzed, and cupped my hands and began to bow my head, as I'd seen men in South Africa do, when they used to go, "Yes, boss, yes, master." So I began to beg for my life. Not looking at them in an act of humility, I said, "Look, I have the money. Please help me or I'll die in front of you." As I continued to beg, I watched two of the men walk away laughing. The third young man stopped, obviously shaken, seeing a European begging. Without a word, this Indian man walked over towards me and helped me to my feet. As he put me in his taxi, he began racing towards the hospital. He then turned to me and he asked me what hotel I stayed in because he wanted to know if I had a room number that he could collect the money from me if I lived. Well, I was dying. I told him that I didn't stay in a hotel, that I live with a fisherman in Tamarind Bay. As I told him that, he looked at me and he said, "You lied to me, you tourist. How will you pay me the money?" Getting very angry with me, I said, "Look, I'm not a tourist, I'm a surfer. I live with the fishermen and the Creoles in Tamarind Bay." He said, "You stay in the hotel there." I said, "I don't." He said, "I take you there. The tourists, they look after you. Why do you lie to me?" In absolute anger, he pulled off the road into the fishing village where I lived, stopped in front of a small Chinese hotel on the beachfront. He told me to get out. He was so aggressive that I realized it was pointless arguing with him, and I tried to get out of his taxi. I found to my horror the paralysis had moved into my left leg. Both legs were completely numb. As I tried to move, I said, "Look, I can't walk. I'm paralyzed from the waist down. I have the money. Please help me or I'll die." He took my safety belt off, opened the passenger door, and before I knew what to do next, he pushed me straight out of his cab. As I fell to the ground, I saw that my ankles were caught in the door sill. He was unable to close his door until he threw my feet out of that taxi and took off. As I watched him drive into the night, I was left there for dead. As I'm lying there, half dead, I thought, "Well, I'm not afraid to die. If your number's up, do yourself a favor. If that's how a fellow man treats fellow man, do yourself a favor." As I'm lying there dying, the security guard in the hotel had seen the taxi, fortunately came out into the car park. As he came out, his torchlight found me half dead on the ground. As he ran over towards me, it was a fisherman from the village, Danielle, a good friend of mine. He saw my scarred arm and quickly carried me into the hotel to safety. Next to the swimming pool, the Chinese who owned the hotel were playing mahjong. In a very surreal place, I was lifted in a chair next to these Chinese owners who were playing their gambling game, mahjong. As they looked at me, they said, "Oh, you drunk too much." I said, "Not drunk. I was stung by a deadly jellyfish. Can you please help me?" As the men looked at my arm, one of them stood to his feet. He said, "Oh, you stupid white man. How come you put the needle in the arm? The old man, he take opium with a pipe, huh? Why you do that, you stupid white man?" I thought, "Thank you very much, Dr. Wong." My hair in those years, how many know your hair once grew? The tide goes out as you get older, but my hair was down to here, and I was 26 years of age, and the Chinese thought that all the Australian New Zealand surfers in the village were drug addicts. Well, they were, but we're just, you know, a few datura magic mushrooms, but we were in mainline smack, you know what I mean? So I'm looking at this guy, and he's thinking that I'm mainlining heroin, because the Chinese do what they call chase the dragon, where they shove heroin into themselves, and the dragon ends up chasing them. I had a friend who'd been on 19 years home-baked heroin. But when he gave his heart to Jesus, instantly set free. Instantly set free. And that was here in this city. Police had been phone tapping his residence for months to try and catch all the chemists in town and everyone else. And when he gave his heart to God, he rang me up to ask me to come around to burn all his kit. And the special branch here had actually been listening to it. And realized I'd be coming with a friend that I surf with, Addo, to come around that morning. And they kicked the door in, smashed the door in, early hours of the morning. Couldn't find anything in his house. But he owned up. He said, "I've been institutionalized most of my life." And he owned up and he gave his life over and said, "I deserve to go to prison. I'm willing to take it." Showed them where the kit was. And the man who was actually on the bust got saved. and became a leader in one of the youth groups here, and was actually youth pastor in the Gateway. Do you realize that God can change us? When no one else and nothing else can change us, God can set you free. Absolutely set you free. He just asked that his wife, Araha, would not go down, and he would take the entire rap, and they agreed to that. Because he didn't want his wife to go to prison because he had kids. And, well, here I am, I'm dying. This man thinks I'm taking heroin. It's a terrible jellyfish sting. As I'm sitting there, my body begins to shake. As my body and muscles begin to contract into terrible contractions, my teeth begin to smash into each other, I start to go into the death rattles. The Chinese men try and physically hold me down. I'm throwing them off. Unable to stop me from shaking, I stop shaking but feel very, very cold. Right in my bone marrow, I feel death. An icy cold necrosis enters the core of my body. I realize I have very little time left. I said, I'm freezing. Can you please get blankets? They wrap blankets around me. One man tries to pour milk down my throat. I said, I don't need milk. I see in the car park a vehicle. It belongs to the owner. I turned to him and said, sir, could you please take me in your car to Katrabon Hospital or I'll die. The Chinese man looked at his car, looked at me, put his hand on my shoulder. He said, oh, my car? No, no, no. Cannot take my car. Sorry, white man. Wait for ambulance for you. Don't worry. Be happy. Well, you know that dumb son, don't worry, be happy. In those years, we used to listen to UB40, Men at Work, Cole Chisel, Alan Parsons. So we were sitting here, and I think, I'm going to hit this guy. As I tried to hit him, my right hand wouldn't move. I thought, oh, great, it's paralyzed. Can't even hit this turkey. Tried my left hand, a little bit of strength. I thought, well, I could try and hit him with an uppercut, but I'm not a southpaw like my dad. I know, I could grab his shirt, rip him into my forehead, and give him a headbutt. That'll teach him a lesson humanity won't forget, what not to do with a dying man. I'm just about to reach up and rip into my forehead and give him a headbutt, and I hear this clear voice speak to me. It said a third time, son, if you hit this man, the toxin is so close to your heart, the adrenaline rush will kill you. I thought, oh, shit. That's true. And that was S-H-O-O-T for those who are hard of hearing. And my grandfather used to say, flame and love a duck. I don't know what that meant, but he used to say it. Beat swearing anyhow. No, I was just about to drop him, and I've got this voice telling me if I hit him, I'll die. How many know that's a dilemma? How many know you get quite focused sometimes? You like to rip someone. Anyway, I was about to do this guy, and I thought, well, if I hit him, I'll most likely die. But at least out of satisfaction, I'm walking around, no, poof, and rip him, boy, because it'll be stuck in my skull. So I'm counting the cost. How many of you have ever counted the cost? What are you going to do? You know what I mean? So I thought, well, I could control my anger, look away and get him later. Plan B. I thought, if I survive this, you're hasty, Jack. Better flip and hope I don't make it. How many of you ever got a little bit angry? Some you look like you are still. So anyhow, I'm looking away here, kind of wound up reasonably intense, making sure that I don't look at him because I'll lose the plot and smack him. And as I do, I see the headlights of an ambulance come flying into the car park. As this ambulance comes flying in, to my amazement, my friend Danielle had rung the hospital. He races out, carries me in his arms with another Creole. They get me into the ambulance and begin taking off to the hospital. Partway there, with my eyes wide open, I begin to see what appears to be a video clip of a small child with snowy white hair. As I'm watching it, I'm shocked to realize it's yours truly. I thought, man, I've heard about this stuff. They say just before a person snuffs it, they see their life go before them. As I'm lying here, I thought, man, am I going to die? I thought, well, I'm very close to death. I thought, if I die tonight, where would I end up? I thought, well, if you die, the worms get you, mate. I'm an atheist, you know what I mean? There's nothing out there. I thought, but I have been wrong before. I was a gambling atheist. Any gambling atheists with us tonight? Some of my horses are still running at Tirapa. But anyhow, so I'm lying here, dying, and I'm thinking, this is like Russian roulette. Man, I've been wrong before, and if there's life after death, where am I going to end up? How many would be a little bit shocked where you might end up if there is something out there? You know what I mean? Well, my lifestyle wasn't exactly impeccable. How many know what the word degenerate means? Have you ever read me The Bank or Devo? No. So anyhow, I'm lying here, and I'm dying, and I'm thinking, well, mate, I'd hate to think where I'd end up if I died tonight. As I'm lying there, next minute, right in front of me, I see my mother, a clear picture of my mum, like in a vision, on her knees, praying for me. My mother is in Glenview, in Hamilton here, and unbeknown to me, she's just seen my face. God has just spoken to her audibly and said, your eldest son Ian is nearly dead, pray for him now. My mother, who is the only Christian in our family and prayed every day for her kids, and every single one of them had gone off. Not one of them followed God. She hit her knees in Glenview and began praying. Unbeknown to me, this is taking place. But in an ambulance in the middle of the night on the other side of the world, I see my mother on her knees praying in a bedroom. She looks at me and says, son, no matter how far from God you may be, no matter what you've done wrong in your life, Ian, if you but call out to God from your heart, God will hear you and God will forgive you. I thought, God, I'm believing God. And if there is a God, how could he forgive me? It'd be too late. How many think it'd be a little bit too late for some of you? You know what I mean? So I lay there and I thought, and if there is a God, which one, Mum? There's plenty to choose from. Having spent a couple of years travelling through Southeast Asia, how many know there's a few to choose from? Now, as a gambler, how many would like to back the right horse? You know what I mean? So I'm lying here going, man, I've been to Katragama, I've been into Borobudur, I've been to places that most of the angels fear to tread. I've seen stuff. And I'm lying here and I'm thinking, is there a God? I said, if there's a God, show your face and I'll pray. As I lay there, no face appeared. The only face that continued to appear is my mother. I thought, well, mother is not God. I mean, no, your mother's not God, you know what I mean? So I lay there, and sometimes I act like it, but anyway, I lay there, and I thought, my mother's not God, my mum's a Christian, she's only ever prayed to Jesus, could mother be right? How many hate it when your mother's right? You know what I mean? So I'm lying here thinking, well, mum's life is immaculate, it's amazing, there's such love, such purity. If there's anyone on this rotten planet that potentially could know God, it's mostly my mum. I thought, well, my mother's only ever prayed to Jesus, could he be God? I thought, well, I've got nothing to lose, I'm nearly dead, why not try and pray? So I began to try and pray the only prayer my mother had taught me, which was called the Lord's Prayer. How many have ever prayed that one? The Our Father, which art in heaven one. I was a christened, confirmed Anglican sinner, if that makes any sense to you. So I'm lying here and thinking, okay, pray. Well, now what do you do? Our Father. As I tried to pray, my mind went blank. My mother said, son, do not pray from your head. Call out to God from your heart. I thought, Mum, my heart's like stone, you could strike a match on it. I said, but God, if you're real, help me to pray. I can't even remember the Lord's Prayer. As I lay there, words began to appear in front of me. Forgive us our trespasses and sins. I thought, man, that's in the prayer. Forgive us our sins. Where on earth would you start? I lay there and said, well, God, I have no time to list all my sins because there's so many. But if you can somehow forgive me, please forgive me all of my sins. The words disappeared. Fresh words came up. Forgive those who have trespassed and sinned against you. Oh, well, that's easy. I'm not a vindictive person by nature. No worries. I can forgive anyone, no matter who's ripped me off or scammed me. I forgive them. As I said that, the face of the Indian taxi driver appeared in front of me. I thought, what's he doing here? And that's not what I said, but it's close. The voice said, will you forgive this Indian taxi driver for pushing out of his car tonight and leaving you for dead in front of the hotel? You must be joking. Why should I? How many have ever had veins stick out of their neck, you know? If I could have head-butted him, I would have, but the trouble was, it was a vision. As I'm lying there, prostrate, paralyzed, I've got the Chinese hotel owner appear in front of me. I thought, what's he doing here? Well, I said, will you forgive this Chinese hotel owner for not taking on his car tonight and leaving you to die in the hotel? I thought, well, actually, I had other plans for his life. I was going to lay my hands upon him. But it wasn't God bless you, my son. It's more like, have you a problem breathing? Anyhow, so I'm lying here dying, and I'm thinking, who on earth am I talking to? Is that God? This voice has been talking to me the whole night. Now he's asked me to forgive real people. How many have got some people on your hit list? Only one or two people, okay. Well, I'm lying now. I thought, man, this is the top of the hit list here, man. I've got to forgive them. Why should I? As I lay there, God didn't respond to me. He just allowed me to choose. How many know that forgiveness is a choice? And when Jesus hung on the cross, he forgave those who crucified him. He even forgave a man who was a murderer next to him. He said, today, you shall be with me in paradise. So salvation taking place as he's forgiving, even as they're crucifying the Son of God. An act of love. Still loving, even as people are crucifying. So I'm realizing that I have a lot of bitterness, a lot of unresolved anger within my spirit. And if I can forgive, something will take place. So I said, God, I forgive. If you can forgive me, I forgive. Can you imagine if God could forgive you of all your sins tonight? Do you think he could forgive others? I mean, it's a little bit different from Utu. Forgiveness. Not revenge, forgiveness. As I forgave them, the faces disappeared. Fresh words came up. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I lay there, I realized I'd been independent and self-sufficient. It'd been my will done. I had never followed the will of God. In fact, I'd never given my life to God. As I lay there, I said, God, will I humble myself? I admit I've been wrong. I surrender my life to you. And whatever you're doing in heaven, I'll try and find out what you're doing and try and live it here on earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God says he gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself under the hand of Almighty God, and he will exalt you. We're saved by grace. As I lay there, the entire prayer came. And through personal revelation, I prayed the Lord's Prayer. And for the first time in my life, I understood what it meant. For many years, I'd prayed like a parrot in meaningless repetition and religious ceremonies, the Lord's Prayer. I'd even prayed the Lord's Prayer to please my mother. But nothing had ever happened. I'd never in my heart actually given my heart to the Lord. As I lay there, my entire person was transformed. The Spirit of God came in, and I felt totally and completely at peace with my Maker, and I was prepared to die. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I was born again right there in an ambulance in my dying seconds. As this was taking place, the ambulance stopped. They lifted me into a wheelchair, raced me to the hospital. I began to float out of my body. I realized that I was very, very close to death. They couldn't find a pulse. My veins had collapsed. As the nurses and doctors began shoving anti-serum and dextrose into me, began slapping my hand because my veins had collapsed, I could feel myself going further and further out of my body. I could hear them, I could see them, but I no longer could speak to them. I was alive, but barely. As a young man, I tried what was called astral projection. I'd understood what advanced meditation and astral travel had been. So I knew what it was to leave my body, but I knew that this was no meditation, this was death. This was one-way ticket. As I'm fighting for my life, the doctor said, that's all we can do for you. Keep your eyes open. Try and stay awake. Fight the poison. As I lay there, I found no strength left in my body. I shut my eyes, breathed out a sigh of relief. And as this took place, I could feel the battle to stay alive had finished. An incredible sense of release came as something seemed to break forth out of my physical body. I realized that I was leaving my body at that moment in time. The machines monitoring my heart flatlined. Doctors ran towards a corpse that had just been gone flatlined, no pulse. Trouble was for me was that I was very much alive. Although my physical body was dead, I was alive. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even if they die, yet they shall live. So I'm finding the incredible power of Christ is that even though I've just died, my spirit, my person, my inner man is alive. Physical body is only ash and dust. I'm instantaneously out of my body, translated out of this realm, this dimension, into a completely different realm. Instead of lying down fighting for my life, I'm upright. It's pitch black. My first thought was, did I die? Did I just leave my body? Or have the doctors had a power cut in this third world hospital and we've lost all the lights? I thought, that's most likely. So I thought, well, then don't panic. If we've had a power cut, I'll find a light switch. So I groped out here looking for a wall to turn the lights on. Couldn't find it, so I went back looking for my hospital bed. I thought, oh, great, now you've lost your bed, you idiot. How on earth did you do that? As I'm groping around trying to find something physical to touch, I thought, it's so dark in here, you can't see your hand in front of your face. So I brought my right hand up to where my face should be, and as I did, it went straight through. I said, what? You can't miss your head? Two hands, it's not that dark. Both hands went straight through my face. I thought, that's impossible. So I went for my chest. I thought, what's happened? I went for my hands. Both hands disappeared into each other. How many have noticed that when people die, they leave their bodies behind? How many have also heard of what's called phantom pain for those who are actually alive on the planet and have lost parts of their anatomy? So you're a spiritual body in a physical form. Your spirit's more real than your body. Your spirit is eternal. Your body will pass away. I'm out of my body, yet I have the understanding I have hands, a face, a mind, I can remember, I can relate, I can think, I can rationalize. I have every emotion, every part of my will, every part of who I am is there. Didn't separate body, soul, spirit. As the Jew said, your spiritual being inside a clay vessel. When a man dies, his spirit leaves his body. Very clear. I didn't get all complex about anything else, about soul sleep. You go. Standing there, I thought, where is this place? What's happened to me? As I stood there, I could feel this intense evil pervading the atmosphere. How many have ever found demonic evil presences in darkness? Anyone ever been spiritually attacked by any demonic presence? Oppression, seen, tasted, felt demons? Can you imagine being in a place where that's all you're getting? All around. I can feel them. It's like invisible eyes are looking at me. I then feel movement coming towards me. As I feel this demonic evil coming towards me, I begin to move back. I thought, what's happened? Where am I? As I'm talking to myself, questioning where I am, a man next to me screams at me. I can't see him, but I can feel his presence. He said, shut up! I thought, shut up. I said nothing and lifted my hand up to brace myself. So I had no concept that they could hear what I was thinking. Where am I? Who turned the lights out? I thought they'd just tune him straight into where he was. Shut up! Another man to my left screamed at me and said, you deserve to be here. I said, deserve to be where? I was taught if someone comes at you, you stand your ground. Best for me to just come, you know what I mean? So I'm going, where am I? Another man right in front of me said, you're in hell! Now shut up! I thought, hell, I don't believe in it. How many have ever said that stupid statement? As I'm standing there, I thought, well, hell is just a fear. It's all based in fear. If you scare someone enough, I'm sure they'll believe in your God. I believed all religions were based in fear. I'm now in a realm where I'm confronting darkness and evil, and they're telling me, I'm in hell, shut your face, and you deserve to be here. I mean, that's a bit of a rude awakening. So I'm thinking, well, where's the party? Me and Mites were saying, in the bars, and I mean, everything you can't do up here, you can do down here and get away with. Sex and drugs and rock and roll, what my body needs. Well, very difficult to have a beer, isn't it? Very hard to pack the cone on your bong. It's good as sucking bong water, wouldn't it? Very hard to dance the night away, isn't it? Shadow dancing. Everything that I thought of hell suddenly just went, poof. I thought, well, where are the boys with the horns, the pitchforks, and the little fire roasting the corpses? Then I realized that no corpse comes into this place because my corpse is back up in that A&E. Or spread across some highway with some other person who died. I thought, this is a spiritual place. You are a spiritual being and you cannot enjoy any of the things that you thought you enjoyed here on earth. I mean, no, that's a little bit of a scary thought. And everyone down there is tuning you in very quickly. Acts 26 verse 18, Paul the Apostle said, there is a kingdom of darkness. A kingdom of what? Darkness ruled by who? Satan. When you do a word study on fire, you might be shocked to realize that fire's got to do with God. God spoke to the children of Israel out of burning, what is it? Moses out of a bush of fire. He led the children of Israel by a pillar of fire. Elijah called fire out of heaven. Daniel said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a furnace of fire. It didn't harm them. Day of Pentecost, tongues of fire. In the Bible it says at the end, hell, Hades, will be thrown into a lake of fire. The word fire has all got to do with God, not towards Satan. He hates the fire. He's a prince in a kingdom of darkness. The dragon of old, Lucifer. As I'm standing in this darkness, I have an incredible understanding that I am in the pit. The Bible says broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many find it. There's a highway to hell. It wasn't thought up by Peter Fonda, and he's a writer. It was thought up 2,000 years ago when God said there is a highway that goes to hell. Many find it. Very easy to fall in there. I'm standing in there realizing God has every reason to judge me to hell. How many deserve to go to hell? Of course, none of you, but you've told everyone else to go there, haven't you? So here I am. I'm in this place called hell, and I'm realizing it's like a holding tank. This isn't the final place of judgment. This is where souls are held until the day of judgment. How many figured that one out? Hades is a place where people are held until the day of judgment, where they're thrown into a fire which is called the second death. So I'm standing here getting all this understanding. I thought, well, didn't I pray? Didn't something happen in that ambulance? As I'm standing there, how many remember Psalm 23? The Lord is my, I shall not, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of where? Death. And the Hebrew for that is deep darkness. I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Greater is he within me than any demon host in hell. Nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Neither life nor death, principality or power, not even Satan can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. I mean, that's a fairly reassuring thought. If you read Psalm 23, it says, and then he goes on, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forevermore, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. So this is the psalmist giving revelation of what it is to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, deep darkness, surrounded by evil, but the evil can't touch this. It's a good song, isn't it? Can't touch this. Because what greater is he within me than any demon host in hell? You don't have to have baggy pants and go like this. Can't touch this. Excuse me, I need a little bit of humor. I've done this for 23 years, so just bear with me. As I'm standing there surrounded by a demonic presence, I'm encased in a protective layer which I now understand to be the supernatural power of the Spirit. The same resurrection power that brought Christ back from the dead dwells within those who believe. He is the resurrection of life. As I'm standing there, the evil can't touch me. Next minute, radiant light shines through the darkness. Luke 1:79 said, light shines from heaven above down upon those walking in the shadow of death. This great light came down. As it shone down, it touched me. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Those who come to me shall no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 1 verse 5 says, light shines in the darkness, and the darkness flees. As this radiant light pierces through the darkness, I find myself beginning to be caught up into the air. Like, you ever seen a speck of dust go up in a beam of sunlight? Haven't ever been bored enough at school or university to watch that, you know? Must be better than what he's saying up the front. So I watched dust go up and I was fascinated by it. Here I am like a speck of dust being drawn out of a kingdom of darkness up towards a tunnel of pure white light. As I'm being drawn up into this tunnel of light, I see at the extremity, at the end of the tunnel, is the source. At an incredible speed, at the speed of light, I'm drawn along the length of this tunnel towards the source. Waves of white radiance break off the source in thicker intensity, and I watch this radiant light come towards me. Fascinated by what's happening, completely out of my own control, I'm being drawn towards the light. Waves of light touch me. The first wave of light, comfort. I thought that light looked like laser light, but it gave off a living emotion. What is that? I moved further down, another wave of light came, and this time complete, unadulterated peace. From the tip of my head to the base of my feet, peace. How many have ever looked for peace of mind? Anyone ever pursued that one? How many have tried a few different avenues and gone and come a little bit unglued? You dead ends. So here, pure peace went into me. This peace has not left me in 24 years, because this peace is not from this world. Jesus said, I am the Prince of Peace. The peace I give you surpasses understanding. It'll guard your heart and mind throughout eternity. You can have all hell breaking loose around you, but when you have the Prince of Peace within your spirit, I tell you what, you have peace. And it's not some broken cross upside down hanging around your neck, which is called the peace sign. You realize that's a cross with its broken? Thank God there's peace through the cross of Jesus Christ. Not some witchcraft emblem thought up by a bunch of doped out hippies in the 60s. Some of you are thinking seriously, aren't you? It's good you're actually thinking. How many are brain dead? Three of you. So I'm suddenly through this light. Next minute I thought, well, in the darkness I couldn't see my hand in front of me. I wonder if in the light I can see something. I turn my head to the right, and to my amazement I see my fingers, my hand, my arm. No longer in flesh and blood, transparent, spirit-like. As I look through it, I realize that it is my own hand. And in a twinkling of an eye, we shall take on immortality. The natural man will be sown in dishonor and raised in glory. First the natural man, then the spiritual man. First the earthly, then the heavenly. We shall become sons and daughters of light. As I'm moving through, I realize that I'm being drawn towards the source of the light. The next wave, joy. As this incredible joy swept over me, I came out of the tunnel. I realized that the tunnel had made the light look extremely small. As I exited the tunnel, I saw the enormity of the light. It seemed to billow out to the edges of the cosmos. Such radiance, it seemed as though I'd come into the center of the known universe. I thought even star systems, constellations, galaxies must find their energy from this light. As I'm looking towards it, I thought, what is this light? Is this just some innate power in the universe? How many have heard of the yin and yang theory? Circle of light, light, darkness. Well, I'm standing there, and as I'm looking at this incredible light, I thought, it's just an innate power and nothing in there. In the midst of the light, a person speaks. How many know that blows the theory that there's no one in there? As soon as he spoke, he called me by name. How many know that's a little bit disconcerting if he knows your name and you haven't told him? It's called read your mail. So he said, Ian, do you wish to return? As I stood there, I thought, return? Return where? I looked behind me, and here was the tunnel going back into darkness. I thought, darkness? Hospital bed? Have I died? Have I left my human form? Am I actually standing here talking to a being of light who knows my name? I thought, man, this could be real. As I stood there, I said, well, I don't know where I am. If I'm out of my human form, I wish to return. As I said that, he said, Ian, if you wish to return, you must see in a new light. I thought, light, see the light. Are you the true light? As I asked him the question, he spoke to me and he said, Ian, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5. As he spoke this, I could read the words like I'd read the Lord's Prayer in the ambulance. As he spoke these words, they appeared in front of me like words of light. As I'm reading them, I'm amazed and it's saying that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. The study of Eastern mysticism, which I had been preoccupied with through my travel through Southeast Asia, had said that in the circle of life is yin and yang. How many have heard that one? In the darkness, there's a dot of light. How many have heard that? That's possible. In the light, there was a dot of darkness. How many know that's impossible? Darkness cannot survive surrounded by light. And light and darkness are not equal and opposite, which they try and project in this Eastern mystic thought. Light is always stronger than darkness. Light will always dispel darkness. I'm standing in a realm where there is no darkness, and I've just come from a completely separate kingdom of darkness, and I'm standing in a place that this person just told me that he's God, and there is no darkness within him. How many know that would literally undo you a little bit? Okay? So as my intellect and my spirit's trying to catch up with the revelation of who this could possibly be, I thought if he can do that, then he must know everything in my life. How many would find that a little bit hard? You ever done anything behind Venetian blinds? Well, I'm standing here thinking, my dear, I'm in serious trouble. If that's Almighty God, he knows my name and sees everything, he knows my thought, then my entire person is undone. Oh my God. They made a mistake. They beamed the wrong person up. I should crawl back under some rock before someone figures out they beamed the wrong man up. As I began to move back towards the darkness of the tunnel to crawl under some rock, I felt the radiance of God break forth and come towards me. As it did, incredible love and acceptance came forth from God. I thought, love? Why on earth would God love me? Another wave of this radiant light, my fingers tingled with a supernatural presence. My entire person was inundated with liquid light. I felt wave after wave of love. I thought, God, you can't love me. Surely you know what I've done wrong. More love came. I thought, perhaps he doesn't. I thought I'd better tell him before he finds out later. So I said, well, God, I've cursed you. How many of you have ever cursed the name of Jesus and broken one of the Ten Commandments, taking the Lord's name in vain? Any of you? Gee, not many of you. Well, I said, well, I've broken that. Love came from his presence. I said, well, God, I've slept around. I won't ask for a show of hands. Pure love kept coming in. I said, well, God, I've taken a heap of drugs, more love. How many have got skeletons in the closet? Anyone got some stuff that's fairly low life? You look such innocent looking people. Well, I'm not going to tell you then. So I said, well, God, I've done this. As I offloaded my most degenerate thing I've ever done in my life, pure love, absolute love and acceptance, I found myself weeping. I thought, why am I crying?
His love went deep into my spirit, wave after wave. He began to show me that all my sins had been forgiven in the ambulance. I didn't have to be talking about it here, because in the ambulance, when I asked him to forgive me in the Lord's Prayer, he forgave everything. I stood before him without sin. I was as white as snow. As I stood there, I just burst into tears as his healing love began to fill me. As his light began to fill me, I opened my eyes and I found myself encased, cocooned in pure white light. But the radiance that around me was so small in comparison to the glory that surrounded God. The enormity of the light was such that it would eclipse the sun. It would make the sun look like a little yellow dot. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is glorified, that all men fall short of his glory. When you've seen his glory, you realize how far humanity falls short of the glory of God. As I stood there, I said, God, could I step through this light that surrounds you? Could I step in and see you face to face? As I walked into the radiance, I felt his healing presence touch my broken heart. As I walked deep into the light, I began to watch the veils part. As I began to part, I began to see the most beautiful. My God. Oh, that's God. Look at him. He had white robes. He clothed himself in garments of light. His bare feet, his hands were outstretched as if to welcome me. Pouring forth out of his hands was radiant white light. But as I looked towards his face, I began to see that his face was the epicenter, the focal point of all the light was coming out of the pores of his skin. It's as though eternity began in his face. Light, 7 to 10 times brighter, was shining out of the face of Jesus. His hair was as white as snow. He looked nothing like I'd ever seen portrayed here on earth. Nothing that I'd seen in the form of art or pictures in churches or paintings could in any way capture the radiance of Jesus Christ glorified. The Bible says that his face shines so bright that it eclipses the sun. And as I stood there, I realized that he was welcoming me into his presence. Oh, that his hands are outstretched. I began walking towards him, coming off his face. Incredible purity swept off his face into me. I felt the innocence of childhood enter me. The Lord said, we must come to him as children. How do you know that children are very innocent and very trusting? I felt like a small child, with such purity restored back into my spirit. As I walked up towards him, the next incredible experience coming off his face was an impartation of holiness. I felt holy and pure. I felt as though my entire person was completely accepted, totally loved, and there was no sense of fear as I walked within a foot of the glorified Son of God. In my childlike innocence, I began to put my face into the light that came forth from his face. I thought, I want to see his eyes of love. I want to see his face unveiled. I did not know that no man looks upon the face of God and lives. As I began reaching my face into the light, Jesus began to move. It's as though he did not want me to see the form of his face. I now know that had I seen his face, I could not come back and reveal what I'd seen. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. As Jesus began to move with all his form and radiance and glory, directly behind him, as if he had been a door of light, opening behind him was the same shape as the tunnel. And as I looked through this transparent opening, I could see a totally new earth. Directly behind him was a new earth, a new heaven. It was as though I was standing on an edge of a parallel universe. Fields, pastures, flowers, crystal clear river, trees, mountains, blue sky. As I stood there, I knew I was home. I was wondering, why wasn't I born here in the first place? Why was I born on that horrible planet? As I stood there, this world seemed to dissipate into a memory. It's as though it was a bad dream and I'd been born for the first time in my life. Do you realize that rebirth in your spirit here on earth is a taste of what it's going to be like when you step into eternity? As I stood there, I knew I was home. I could see the radiance of God emanate through the entire creation. As I stood there, Jesus came back in front of me and he said, Ian, now that you've seen, do you wish to remain here or do you wish to return? I thought, remain here. Who would want to go back to an apocalypse now? Who on earth would want to go back? As I stood there, he didn't move. I said, well, there's nothing to go back for. No one loves me. As I stood there, he still didn't move. So in like saying goodbye, cruel world, I looked behind me, and directly behind me was my mother. As I saw her, I realized there was one person on the planet who loved me, one person who tried to show me that the way was through Jesus Christ. As I stood there, I thought, if I'm dead, she's going to have to bury my corpse and not know that I'm actually alive, that I've made it into paradise. I thought, I can't do it. It'll break my mother. It'll destroy her. None of the children are Christians. It'll smash her heart. I thought, well, I want to go back, God. I don't know how I came here, but I wish to return to tell my mother what she believes in is real. I'll find out where this place is, and I'll come back again, whether anyone believes me or not. Well, I found out where this place is. It's called the doorway into eternity, and Jesus is the door. Jesus said, I am the door of life. Those who come to me shall go in and out and find green pastures. As I stood there, I said, I want to return. He said, Ian, if you return, you must see things in a new light. You must see through his eyes of love, forgiveness, eternity. As I stood there, I looked behind me again, next to my mum, and my amazement was my dad, my brother, my sister, hundreds of thousands of people. I thought, why are these people? He said, Ian, I want you to return and tell them what you've seen. I said, but God, I don't know them. I know my family, but who are these people? I've never seen most of them. He said, Ian, I love these people. I desire them all to come to know me. As I stood there, I realized that God's love was for the entire earth. My love was very limited. I only loved my own. But God could love and embrace the entire planet. As I stood there, I said, but God, how do I go back down the tunnel, back into my body? I don't even know how I came here. He said, Ian, tilt your head. Now feel the liquid drain from your eye. Now open your eye and see. As I heard him speak to me, I was instantaneously back in my body. My head tilted, my right eye open, and it appears I'm lying in what is like a morgue with a young doctor holding my foot with a scalpel, pricking my foot like a dead piece of meat. Unbeknown to me, I've been dead for over 15 minutes, and now the corpse turns its head, opens its eye, and looks at the doctor. At about that time, me got freaked out, and the doctor went through the ceiling. I heard the voice of God say, son, I've just given your life back. I thought, if that's true, God, can you help me tilt my head to the left and look out the other eye? I'm getting sick of looking at him. As I tilted my head to the left, I opened it, and nurses and orderlies jumped back in fright as I saw a corpse which was now alive, having been dead. I looked for someone who potentially could have, how many CER? You know how they always put the pads on, stand back, you know. Well, I'm looking around for someone who's put the pads on me. Well, there's nothing there. I've got nurses running down the corridor and a doctor holding my foot, shaking like a leaf. How many know that's fairly difficult to bring a person back to life doing that? As I'm lying there, dead, now alive, the doctor drops my foot and comes around. I've been dead for over 15 minutes. Nothing that they've done to bring me back. How many know at that point you have to believe in Jesus Christ? Right. Person who'd been dead for 3 days comes back to life. He even prophesied his death. He said, I am the Son of God. I so love the world, I will die as the Lamb of God for the sacrifice of the sins of man. But I will rise again from the dead. I will hold in my hands the keys of death and Hades. I will conquer Satan. I will conquer the power of death. And I will forgive all mankind who had come to me. I just experienced his forgiveness. Now I was experiencing his resurrection power that could speak to that which is dead and bring it back to life. I then knew I needed healing. I said, God, I can't move. If I've been brain dead that long, I will not be able to walk or be a vegetable. Please heal me. If not, take me back to heaven. As I lay there, the healing power of Christ went through me. Within 3 or 4 hours, I was completely healed. I walked out of the hospital the next day. I said, God, what's happened to me? Can we have the musicians? And the Lord said, you are a reborn Christian. I said, I've never heard of it. He said, Ian, I want you to read a Bible. Back in Hamilton in 1982, I grabbed my father's Bible and within 6 weeks read from Genesis to Revelations. As I read it, I just began to weep. I thought my life absolutely destroyed. But God wants to fix, heal body, soul and spirit, the entire inner man. Within 12 months of following the Lord, he called me to go out to the nations. I've lived in over 36 nations in the last 20 odd years. And the heart of God is that all would be saved. We're on mission week today. What was God's mission? He came from heaven. He came from where? Heaven to earth. People think that Jesus Christ is just a new religion. He's not a man, he's God. I would say he existed in the form of God. He was God. So as all the heavens and the universe were created through him and for him. He was with the Father in Genesis, creating and speaking constellations and galaxies into existence. The same person came to earth, humbled himself, laid down his life, but death could not hold him down. He has risen again. That through his great sacrifice, everyone's spirit can be cleansed from darkness. You don't have to crawl on broken glass. You don't have to offer joss sticks or incense. You don't have to sit under a pyramid or go om. You don't have to flagellate yourself, put skewers through, or hang from meat hooks. Thank God. You can get completely and absolutely born again through the power of Jesus Christ. I'd like you just to bow your head in prayer. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I cried out from my heart in an ambulance. I said, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I forgive those who have sinned against me. And I surrender my life over to the will of God to do whatever he's doing in heaven on earth. I give my life to you. In that moment in time, as I prayed the Lord's Prayer, my entire life was saved. The presence of God's love and spirit came into me. I was forgiven. Gift of eternal life. I'd like you to pray with me. Give your heart to Jesus. If you've never done that, his name is above all names. Every knee will bow that Jesus Christ is Lord. And if you've backslidden, if you've somehow turned away from him, his arms of love are always there to receive you back. No matter what sin you've committed, his blood can cleanse and cover the most vilest of sin. He can cleanse and restore you back into love relationship with the Father. I'd like you to pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for me. Forgive me, Lord. Take away all my sins. Cleanse me as white as snow. And as you forgive me, Jesus, I forgive all those who have sinned against me. And I surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Be my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart. Let me live for you all the days of my life. I surrender all to you. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. With heads bowed, if you've prayed that, could you just slip your hand up? If you in your heart of hearts said yes, I want to know the Lord. I want to surrender my life to him. Just slip your hand up above your head. It's an act of humility. Thank you. Say, yes, Lord. I want to follow you. Well, if you've tonight recommitted your heart to Jesus, can you just slip your hand up and say, I want to come back to Jesus, the light of the world. Thank you. I want to surrender all to him, the one who died for me. Thank you. Let's ask the musicians to lead us in a song of adoration to Jesus. I'd like us all to stand. Sorry for taking so long. And I'd like, as we worship the Lord, to open up the front of the church as an altar where you can bow your knee, where you can confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that you can call upon his precious name. If you've lifted your hand or in your heart of hearts said yes to Jesus, I'd like you to come up to the front. Come with a friend if you're afraid. But come and humble yourself before the Lord tonight. Dedicate your entire life to him. As the musicians sing, I'd like you to come forward in Jesus' precious name.